Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Robbie and Rex Road rolling right along. Chase McCabe in for Robbie Stanley this morning alongside Joe Rex Road. It's all brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join the team of 30 plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Michelle Knezovic along for the ride as well. And we go to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We say hello to the sports director extraordinaire at Fox 17. Jill Jelinek is here with us. Jill, good morning. Thanks for getting up early.
Good morning, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Always love a chance to kick off the weekend with you guys. And let me first apologize. My voice is clearly not at full strength. I actually lost it in Birmingham this week. So if anyone in Birmingham has found it, let me know. Coach Fisher had me call plays, and I was just yelling at Paxton Lynch all practice long. So it's completely gone, so I apologize. Just bear with me.
Hey, you sound fine. It's all good, and I'm extremely jealous of you, and I think you've gotten this vibe from me because Fish is my guy, and he's a good player, good coach. So I'm jealous you got to talk to Jeff Fisher. What was that like? Because I know that's your first time around the legendary Titans coach.
Yeah, as you know, I'm new to Nashville, so this was my first time meeting him, and everything I had heard, you know, before meeting Coach Fisher was a great guy, energetic, will be a great interview. And Chase, Joe, he exceeded all of my expectations. He was so pumped, not only to talk to media and talk about his team, he was so excited to talk about Nashville. His love for Nashville is so apparent. His kids are all there. They all went to CPA. You guys all know this, but I loved being able to pull that out of him, and I really didn't have to work very hard for him to talk about Nashville and his time with the Titans as well. So great time talking about USFL. He's clearly very, very excited for the league, for his team to be back on the field coaching, and just the energy pouring out of him. And I think that's going to show this weekend on the sidelines.
So Jill, okay, so tell me a little bit about this assignment. Okay, so you're interviewing Jeff and you're calling plays in practice, and Paxton Lynch, first of all, well, tell me, is it Paxton Lynch or Shea Patterson starting for the Michigan Panthers? Do you know this?
No. So Paxton Lynch was there. He was one of the interviews I wanted to talk to because of his connection with Memphis,
right,
and Tennessee. But Joe, unfortunately, I wasn't calling plays. That's just my excuse for why my voice sounds like this. but Coach Fisher was very excited. Shea Patterson, yes, their go-to quarterback. Paxton was just on the side, and again, the former Memphis Tiger wanted to talk to him. There's a lot of players in the USFL with connections to Nashville. You have a former Vanderbilt guys, Trey Tarpley, also a couple TSU guys, including Terrell Bonds, a Nashville native, Paul Adams. He plays for the New Orleans Breakers. All these guys are kind of scattered out over these eight different teams, and so my assignment this week, Joe, is going to all of these locations. Basically, I took a USFL tour to track down these Nashville ties and ask them about the league, ask them about what they want to get out of it. And for all of them, this is a huge opportunity for them, a stepping stone to try to launch and continue their football careers and hopefully at the end of the season get picked up and potentially sign with an NFL team. So a lot of these players obviously very excited for this weekend. I think the biggest thing that I picked up, they've only had several weeks of practice. They are just throwing everything together. And even Fisher said, we hit, you know, you have to hit the ground running, install plays right away, go at it, just kind of get to know each other as quickly as possible, because all of a sudden now they're playing their first game this weekend and all eyes will be on them on Fox. So there's definitely a lot of pressure going into this weekend. But I think the excitement level is going to be tangible.
Jill Jelinek of Fox 17 on the line with us. You can catch her USFL special tonight at 9:30, 30 minutes. You'll see her full interview with Jeff Fisher. I saw a little bit of it last night, and also the tour that she was just talking about, because it will debut tomorrow night on Fox and NBC, which is kind of cool, a simulcast at 6:30. The New Jersey Generals and the Birmingham Stallions will do battle in the first game of the new USFL. So Fox has obviously put a lot into this. They have the drone that they're using, 50 cameras, obviously a lot of different rules. What were some things that you kind of learned in your tour about how it's going to look when we see it on Fox?
Yeah, to say that Fox has invested a lot in this league would be a massive understatement. Fox Sports has committed $150 million over the next 3 years for the USFL. So they have financially, are obviously, their goals are long-term. You mentioned all the technology. I think that's a really, really cool aspect about this league, other than, you know, the names that everybody will kind of gravitate to. The other side of this is the production level. And Chase, Joe, I talked to a Fox Sports executive who told me that Fox is using the same number of cameras for their USFL broadcast as they did in the NFC Championship game. 50 cameras dedicated to each game. That is unheard of for a league just kind of starting out. But it shows you their commitment to this game and also the overall product that they're trying to achieve. They have players mic'd up. They have the new measuring system, which I think will be really interesting, similar to the replay system in tennis, right? They'll use that for first down, so like the virtual yellow first down line. They're not using the chain game anymore. You know, that this is completely different in that regard. And there was also some talk about a glowing football when it crosses the goal line. I don't know if we're going to see that this season, but they clearly have a lot invested in not just the league, the technology. And I think that's what's going to grab viewers a lot. They're going to be like, oh, this is different from the fall. This is new. Let's see how this works. And we'll see. I think it will bring an extra level of energy and excitement.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting because obviously we've seen a lot of attempts in recent years, you know, with spring football. There's clearly an appetite for it. You got to find the right, you know, combination. The XFL had it going, you know, a few years ago. It's interesting using the branding, of course. I mean, hey, I said on Twitter, I mean, I am a huge Michigan Panthers fan. By the way, that's not five generations ago, Jill. I'm not quite that old.
But it was the 80s. She dunked on you, and that was pretty good.
She dunked on me. I know. But it was a long time ago. I mean, 1983, my gosh. But obviously, this is going to be all in Birmingham. And what is it? The championship game is in Canton. Is that right? They're bringing it to the football. Yeah. Do you get the sense, Jill, that, and I know that this is thinking down the road and things have got to go well, but that there's a real, you know, a plan in place in terms of actually putting these teams, you know, in their areas eventually?
Yes, yes. I think the biggest thing for this league is longevity. All the moves they are making, the money they are investing, the strategy involved with the teams, it's all geared towards longevity of this league. Like I said, Fox has committed 150 to over 3 years. From what I understand, and this is from the attorney that represents Fox Sports, Michael Davis, he said that it's possible the league may host as many as four teams in Birmingham during the second year, and so the other four would be in their respective cities. And then that third year, ideally, the teams would play in their own cities. So, yes, this year, everything is in Birmingham. They'll have most of their games at the brand-new Protective Field. Protective Stadium, and then some games at Legion Field with that championship game in Canton. But then after this season, they're looking to go ahead and try to start moving back into those respective cities. But just for this year, they're keeping it all in Birmingham, which really isn't a bad idea when you're talking about trying to launch a brand new league. You know, like you said, Joe, spring football, there's a need for it, but it hasn't been super successful in the past. Okay, what can you do differently? I think there is a lot of benefits to kind of keeping it close and in the hands reach right here in Birmingham for the first season at least. So we'll see, but there definitely is a plan to branch back out to the cities, because you said you're a Michigan Panthers fan. There's so many other football fans just like you that would love to have their city, that USFL team, come back to their own city. It's part of the fun, right? Who doesn't love football? I mean, why do we have to wait 6 months? That's my favorite part about it.
Well, we don't. We have to wait about 24 hours. So that's a little over that. Real quick, Jill, I know you asked Jeff Fisher his thoughts on the Titans, because he's still in Nashville. He's still keeping up with things. And obviously a lot of love for this organization. Just went in the Ring of Honor along with our pal, the late, great Floyd Reese. But what were, just to give us a tease of what he might have to say about the Titans.
Yes, and I actually have that full interview with Coach Fisher, including his thoughts on the Titans, airing tonight in the USFL special at 9:30. But I first and foremost asked him about that chapter in Tennessee, what stood out to him the most. And he said the very beginning, the 97, when they got over there to Tennessee, they started building the stadium, and kind of the beginning of all that, that chapter was very special for him and also his family. And then I asked him about, obviously, being inducted into the Titans Ring of Honor. That was a big, special, very special moment for him, and he thanked a lot of people along the way. I also asked him about this year's Titans and how successful the regular season was for the team, first in the AFC, but then also an emotional ending to the season. How do you bounce back? How do the Titans bounce back after such a tough loss that really leaves a bitter taste in your mouth still 4 months later? And he said, oh, they know what they're doing. No doubt that franchise knows what they're doing. And he went on to say how much the Titans have grown, not just in the last decade since he's been there, but in the last several years with John Robinson and head coach Mike Vrabel. So very, very complimentary of that staff, and is looking forward to the new season as well.
Well, I can't wait to see the full interview. Jeff is a gem, and I'm glad you got to experience that. Hey, appreciate it as always. The voice sounded great. We'll be watching tonight at 9:30 on Fox 17 mm-hmm. for your USFL special, the one-woman sports department strikes again. Thanks, Jill.
Gentlemen, thank you as always. Have a great weekend. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. See you soon. Jill Jelinek, Fox 17 sports director, joining us, talking USFL. And listen, I'm intrigued by it. I'm going to check it out. But like we've seen with the XFL and other leagues that have tried to come on in the spring league kind of thing, how long is it going to stick around? We'll talk about that when we return here on Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
Hey, Robbie Stanley here, and in the NBA play-in tournament, there are no sure things except one. Bet at least $20 in same-game parlays on FanDuel Sportsbook, and you'll get an instant bonus, win or lose. That's right, not only do you get to enjoy the NBA's best duking it out for the right to advance in the playoffs, but FanDuel's giving all customers a bonus for getting in on the action. Oh, and the more you bet, the bigger your bonus will be. I like the Hawks on the money line. I think Trae Young responds in a big way as well against the Cavaliers. Give me over on three-pointers for Trae Young. But you take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you do it on FanDuel. It's an official partner of the NBA. The app is safe, easy to use, and you'll get your winnings fast. If you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, sign up today with promo code ROB to make every moment more. So don't just watch the NBA play-in tournament. Be a part of it. Bet at least $20 in same-game parlays and get an instant bonus, win or lose. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 7 days. Max bonus of $100. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Seltzerland is turning Nashville into a hard seltzer paradise on Saturday, April 30th at Riverside Golf Links. Enjoy this one-of-a-kind immersive experience as you spend the day tasting over 100 unique hard seltzers, indulge in mouth-watering munchies, tons of seltzer swag, and bust out the gram for the most Insta-worthy moments. Michelle's on that. Seltzerland has rounded up the best hard seltzer brands in the land for one epic day dedicated to the bubbly brew everyone can't get enough of. Go to thegamenashville.com/contest to enter for your chance to win tickets to Seltzerland. Back here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe in for Robbie Stanley this morning alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic. As we appreciate Jill Jelinek for joining us to talk about the USFL. All right, so here's the deal, Joe. I mean, I wasn't around for the first USFL. I've watched all the documentaries on it. I'm aware of the history. To me, though, this is just another new spring league that is popping up, and we'll see if it works. I would love for it to work because Jill made a good point. We all love football. I'll watch the first week, and they're going to have to do a lot to keep me, you know, entertained. I think the thing that I guess might keep me coming back is I enjoyed when the XFL came back before COVID because of the gambling elements that they had with it. That was before, you know, it was legal in this state and legal in other states, but everybody knew it was coming. So they kind of jumped on board with that. And then COVID happened and it went away. Supposedly is coming back with The Rock in charge and going to work with the NFL on some things. But I'm at least intrigued. It's just, can you keep me intrigued through a whole season?
Yeah. And look, I mean, anybody who does remember the old USFL, you know, you have to be of a certain age. I mean, by the way, I was a very young child.
The good old days, Rex Road.
That's right. No, I mean, hey, I've told the story, but I mean, I got out of fourth grade and I went with my grandpa and a couple uncles to Michigan Panthers, New Jersey Generals at the Silverdome Monday Night Football. And it was one of the best sporting days of my life. But here's the thing, you know, I got to see, you know, Michigan Panthers with Anthony Carter at receiver and Bobby Hebert at quarterback. I got to see Herschel Walker take a little swing pass and go 90 yards for a touchdown. And that's something, you know, it was a moment in time when the USFL was actually getting players who were prominent NFL prospects. You know, I mean, they had the USFL at a certain time had Herschel Walker, had Jim Kelly, had Steve Young. You know, had great players. So, like, you're never going to recreate that, obviously.
Well, because they were a competitor. I mean, did you consider them a competitor to the NFL?
Yeah, look, I mean, hey, the bottom line is, and here's the thing, you know, so I was a Detroit Lions fan at the time. Billy Sims, they were also luring some NFL players with big contracts right to the USFL. So, yeah, I mean, they were competing for the best talent. That's never going to happen again. It was a moment in time with the CBA with the NFL and the way the draft was. I mean, Herschel Walker leaving school early was like massively controversial in this country, you know? So you're never gonna have a spring league. The spring league is always going to be a quote unquote, you know, minor league. I do think it's smart to bring back the branding. You know, I think it's got to be people of a certain age, but I mean, the USFL, before they made the stupid decision to try to go in the fall and really compete, which was never a good idea. Just like, this is what we want. We want football year round. Here's a void, fill the void. You know, that was Donald Trump was the owner of the New Jersey Generals and he spearheaded that and they really botched that. But I don't think that they would have. I mean, I think eventually they were probably, you know, I don't know that they were going to have like long-term success, but you never know. I don't know. I mean, maybe we could have had a spring league that was at least somewhat comparable. And now we've been searching for a spring league for a long time. I'm with you. It's just like, can you hold my interest? Cause I always end up watching these things at first and then I just kind of fade out. I mean, there is still a lot of other stuff in the sporting inventory right now.
Yeah. And my whole thing on this is you don't necessarily have to call yourself a developmental league for the NFL, but that's basically what you are. Any of these spring leagues, and you know, the XFL could actually, you know, take that title once they come back, if they truly do come back. But You're playing in the spring because you want to give guys a chance to put stuff on film, and then NFL GMs are going to look at it and go, you know what? That guy's worth a phone call and worth bringing him in for training camp. We did see that with a couple of players from the XFL a few years ago that they got brought into camps and yep. were able to, you know, to have a shot at it. Does that mean they're going to make it? No, not necessarily. But they're going to get maybe a better opportunity than just sitting on the couch doing nothing. So that's kind of how you have to look at this. What's interesting to me is the investment that you're getting from the television networks. You know, Fox is an investor in this. So this is obviously huge for Fox, huge for NBC, you know, making that made for TV because, you know, they want to have, even though Fox has baseball right now, so, I mean, that's obviously a big product for them. This is something that can give them programming here in the spring when, you know, there isn't as much going on. NBC doesn't have hockey anymore, so they have to fill that void. I think that that's what's really going to help is getting that buy-in by the television networks.
It's a huge part of it. It's very key, no question. You know, you've got to make it a good TV product. And again, I think I like the idea, like Jill was telling us about some of the technological things that maybe at some point we will see in the NFL. You got to be ahead of the curve on some things. Look, I liked the old XFL just because of some of the just quirky things they did with the game. I mean, I think you have to be different some ways. And look, the reason I understand why this keeps getting tried over and over. I mean, football is so overwhelmingly the most popular TV sport, starting with the NFL, but even like you look at college football numbers of big games against, you know, relative to other sports. I mean, it makes sense. It's like there's got to be an appetite here. There's got to be a market here. So what can you do to fill it? You know, and you're right, Chase. There's some – I think one key is you've got to have some recognizable names. There are probably some guys who will get looks at the NFL, but you also, you know, most of them won't, but you want enough investment here so that you can have continuity with your rosters. So like a Shea Patterson Shea Patterson's not going to be an NFL quarterback. Okay. But he was a good college quarterback. We remember him in college, and maybe he's a guy who could be a really good quarterback in this league. And then, you know, do you have the investment so that you can pay him so that he doesn't decide, you know what, actually, I'm going to go sell insurance instead because I make more money doing that. Like the investment has got you, you know, your labor force is very important. And I feel like that's where we've seen a lot of these leagues. That's where some of the erosion starts, right? It's like, oh, I didn't get my paycheck. Actually, that happened in, you know, anybody want a great read? Read Jeff Perlman's book on the USFL. They had some wild stuff going on even back then. And they were quite successful quickly.
Something else though that you kind of hit on that I wanted to bring up real quick is some of the things that they're going to try. Like there's some rules that I'd be curious to see if the NFL is not paying close attention to. Now there's some that are kind of gimmicky in my mind, like the two forward passes. I don't ever think you're going to see that on Sundays. I don't really understand that. I mean, I know you want to get people's attention by doing some things like that, but that's kind of arena league to me. To do something like that. But, you know, we saw the Sky Judge, that I think that was the XFL. You know, that was an interesting concept. So that's where it's going to be fun to watch of some of these things that they may try that, you know, the NFL may look at and go, okay, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think, and certainly the idea of let's get rid of, you know, I mean, let's computerize and, like with tennis, you know, like here, no more subjectivity when we're measuring the tip of the ball, you know, with the chain, things like that. I mean, I think some of that we could see, but you're trying to appeal to the hardcore football people, you know, because look, if you're a sports fan, you got NBA playoffs starting this weekend too. You got the right. NHL playoffs about to start. You got baseball going. So this is appealing to the hardcore football fan. So you still want to make sure it's football because, yeah, the double forward pass, that's like I played like college intramural, like Air Force football where you could just keep throwing it forward, but it really isn't football, you know? So you got to be careful with that.
Show us your bad Easter photos, Nashville, from pastel overload to horrible bunny costumes. We want to see it all. You could win a family four-pack of tickets to a Nashville Sounds home game and the grand prize of a two-night stay at Gaylord Opryland Hotel with access to their fabulous Soundwaves sound or water park. Submit photos now at thegamenashville.com/Easter to enter. 1025 The Game presents Bad Easter Photos. Get more info and submit a bad Easter picture now at thegamenashville.com/Easter. Coming up next, Mel Kiper was on a conference call yesterday and thinks this guy would be perfect for the Titans at 26. We'll tell you who up next here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 1025 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 1025 The Game. Chase McCabe in for Robbie Stanley today. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here as well. And Joe, Mel Kiper, it's draft season. We're just a couple of weeks away from the NFL draft. And what are the Tennessee Titans going to do at 26 will be the discussion up until that point. But Mel Kiper did a conference call yesterday, and Jim Wyatt of TennesseeTitans.com was a part of that. And, he talked about the best case scenario for the Titans, and that is receiver Jahan Dotson from Penn State going at 26, according to Kiper. And, you know, he's moved around in different mock drafts. I think he had him at 22 going to the Packers, but he says, quote, "I think Dotson is the guy who, when the ball is in his hands, he is dynamic. He is a dynamic performer. Some think he's more of a two, and there's some mixed opinions on Jahan Dotson, and that's why I have him going 26. Some think that's a little too high. Some think second round, but the majority, the consensus I've built was more late first, but it wouldn't shock me if he got into the second round." So what do you think about Jahan Dotson from Penn State going 26 to the Titans, according to Mel Kiper?
I think it'd be okay. You know, it's the hard part about answering that question is I want to know what else is available, because there are other receivers that I like better than him for sure. I think if the Titans, I feel like every year we ask this, it's like, do they feel like they need a slot guy? Do they need someone who fits the profile of a slot receiver? Or, obviously we know that guys can move around. They're going to put AJ Brown in the slot a fair amount. Like, do they, they went and signed Adam Humphries to be that. And when he was healthy, he was pretty good. Are they more likely to take another receiver who kind of fits the mold of the big physical guy who can be part of the run game, but also who can just like, they like big physical football players who are hard to tackle or good after the catch. That's not him. If Jahan Dotson is the pick because Jameson Williams and Treylon Burks and all those guys are gone, okay, then I want to know, okay, who's available on the offensive line? Because I think I've warmed recently to the offensive line as the direction here. Not sexy, and I know some people won't like it, but the bottom line is, you can still find a good receiver in the third round who I think can contribute to this team this year and be a good third receiver and develop with AJ Brown and Robert Woods as your one and two. But offensive line, this offensive line needs work. It really does. And so maybe you love, Kenyon Green from Texas A&M and he's gone. Maybe you feel like you need to trade up to get someone. Maybe look, as Jared has beat the drum on, maybe you you have to get a starting right tackle in this draft, and that's that. But I'm kind of like, to me, if there's a receiver, like if Jameson Williams is there, I know people would, someone like that too, because of the injury, I'd say jump on that. He has a gear that not many people in the NFL have.
Joe, here's my thing on this 26. Just get it right. I don't necessarily care about the position. I went on a station in Vegas on Tuesday, and I said receiver because, and I'll get to why I said that in just a second. But my whole thing is just get it right, because there's still a giant question mark with Caleb Farley. We all know you missed on Isaiah Wilson and what could be considered the biggest bust in NFL draft history. Jeffrey Simmons has been a hit. Okay, that's fine. You knew what you got when you drafted him, that he was hurt. But the last few years, and it's a recency thing, it hasn't been good. You have a second-round pick in Dylan Raidens that you have no idea what the heck he is. So I don't care if it's O-line or receiver or even if they go to another position, just get it right and get a player that can help you right now, because that's what they need. This window is still open, and your first-round draft pick, albeit at 26, has to contribute more than what's happened the last few years. Now, the reason that I went to wide receiver was, and I'm curious of your thoughts on this, because I asked Terry McCormick this question yesterday on Darren Dotik and Chase. We know A.J. Brown. We know Robert Woods. Your guy, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, obviously is going to be back. He's a part of the mix, whether he's 3, 4, 5, whatever. He's a part of the mix. But going into camp right now, Cam Batson, Des Fitzpatrick, Cody Hollister, Mason Kinsey, Josh Malone, Racy McMath, Chester Rogers, and then I already mentioned Westbrook-Ikhina. That doesn't blow you away. So even though I hear what you're saying, that you could, it's a deep receiver draft, you could get somebody that could help you in the later rounds, but how soon can they help you? Because I don't want to see them go through the same circus that they went through last year with this just revolving door at receiver, when going into the season we felt like, hey, that was going to be a pretty good receiver room, and it didn't necessarily pan out that way because of injury.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, look, I still believe Marcus Johnson was going to be a big-time player for the Titans last year. But the guy couldn't stay healthy, and he hasn't been able to stay healthy for his whole career. But, no, first of all, couldn't agree more. I mean, you've got to draft someone and see impact almost immediately. You've got to draft someone who could start. You know, if you draft a receiver, okay, you know, maybe that's not a starter right away. Maybe, you know, Westbrook-Ikhina is your 3 for a while, but that guy, if you draft a receiver, has got to matter on the field this year. Draft an offensive lineman, that guy has got to compete, whether he's competing at left guard to start or competing at right tackle to start, whichever way you go, you have to. You cannot keep going top pick, getting nothing out of them. And understandably, you know, Caleb Farley gets hurt last year, but also you did draft a guy with a massive injury history there. So now it's at some point you really are going to pay for it if you don't have instant impact. I'm just saying, you know, like Jahan Dotson, hey, I could be wrong. I'm not excited about him in the NFL, you know, and I could be, and I probably will be wrong. But I just don't think that he is going to be that big of an impact player in the league.
Well,
Christian Watson is a guy, and shout out to Mark Howard. I know he's a big Christian Watson guy. Like, I would prefer them to take him over Jahan Dotson if he was there.
See, I think you make an interesting point, because I feel like a majority of Titans fans share your sentiment, not necessarily about Dotson specifically, but blow me away. You know, give me the pick that I know is going to just blow me away from the time he hits the field for the first time, simply because that hasn't happened in the last few years. Now, even with Jeffrey Simmons, because you knew that Jeffrey Simmons was coming off the torn ACL, so he wasn't going to be an impact player right away. It took him a while, really into his second year, before you started to see exactly what he could be in that explosiveness. So I think a majority of Titans fans look at it and go, just get me somebody that's not a project that can walk on the field today, because those do exist even at 26. That's what they want.
Yeah. So what if the Titans draft, you know, right tackle and he comes in here? I mean, so the thing is, the instant reaction to that will be, oh my God, how many times are you going to do this? But hey, if they draft a right tackle and he comes in rookie minicamp and looks great, and it's very clear through camp that he's going to be starting and you're going to have an upgraded position, and that's good. That's a good pick. People will not be happy with that, because it speaks to your recent failures. But the bottom line is, if you're John Robinson, like, you know, it's just like being on the field. If you're a cornerback, you just give up an 80-yard TD pass, okay, line up for the next play, man. Like, this play now is what matters. You just have to address your roster. And I don't think the Titans right now have an offensive line that's good enough to help Ryan Tannehill win at the level you need him to win at.
Yeah, you know who's going to be starting at right tackle for the Titans this year? David Questenberry.
That could be.
I think that's ultimately could what's going to happen. That they're just going to – and that'll happen pretty quick, too, once they go through the draft. If they feel like that – and they're going to draft an offensive lineman somewhere, or a couple of offensive linemen somewhere. And if they, you know, draft somebody and they think, okay, they're not ready yet, they're going to have to compete for the position, maybe they're ready midseason, they're going to bring Questenberry back. Or even Dennis Kelly. But I think they would go back to somebody they know that they can lock in there and not have to worry about it while the other guy develops.
Yeah, I mean, they waited. Look at Michael Pruitt last year, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Eventually, it's like, bring him on back. And by the way, wherever they get a tight end, they need to get a tight end in this draft. And that player should also be a contributor this year.
I agree. I agree with that. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Up next, the Red Rant, as you listen to Robbie and Rex Road chase in for Robbie today on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road rolling right along. Chase McCabe in for Robbie Stanley today. And yes, it's time for the Red Rant, because that's what we call Michelle when she needs to rant. I was wondering if, you know, with me filling in for Rob today, if that meant that I, you know, I got to do the rant. I didn't really have anything to rant about. So, I mean, at least publicly. So I think, I mean, I could probably, you know, being the boss now, Joe, I could rant about Jared every day. That'd be pretty easy. But
yeah, I mean, look, you can pull rank at any time and just rant away, you know?
Yeah, no. You are allowed
anytime. Don't let us
get
in your way.
No, I am good. We will let Michelle take it away with the Red Rant.
Listen, well, you know I was excited about it when I texted in our group message.
Yes, you did.
And said, hey, Joe, if you don't have anything to rant about today, I gotcha. Look at Joe. He just put his hands right there. He's ready to listen. So, as you all know, you both are ready. I wasn't in the last couple of days, and I had been traveling. I went back home to New York, and lately, a lot of flights have been canceled. Traveling is already a stressful process to begin with, right? You got security. You got your flights. You want to make sure everything's on time. So, then you're boarding. You're at your gate. I don't know if this is just me. So tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm crazy. People on the text line, let me know what you think. For Southwest, when you board, you're in boarding groups. You're in A, B, C, and you have your number, right? You don't have a specific seat. So there's little check marks, right? You're 1 through 5, 5 through whatever, and you just kind of stand near it. I don't know why this gets me so irritated. But when you're getting ready to go up, hey, A, 1 through 30, come line up. We are all adults, or if you're with kids, you're with your adults, right? We can be considerate. We can be kind.
Honor system.
Honor system. It bugs the living crap out of me when you have your boarding pass on your phone or you're holding it and you feel somebody breathing behind your neck looking to see what number is on your boarding pass. And if their number is ahead of yours, they will literally like breathe behind your back and just be like either looking at your cell phone or looking at your boarding pass, and then say they're 4 and you're 5. They will be like, oh, I'm 4, so I'm gonna like go ahead of you. Or when somebody is so anal about, hey, what number are you? Oh, I'm right ahead of you. I'm 1 in front of you. Oh, what number? I'm right in front of you. Listen. I get it. We all want to get good seats on the airplane because they are really tiny. I'm 5'4", and I feel like I am squished on an airplane. So I can only imagine if, Chase, you're like 6 foot. Joe, you're taller than me. My dad's 6'5". He hates flying because he's so tall, right? I get it. But it just like really irks and gets under my skin when it's like you need to be right in front of me in the line. Like, I get it. You want to get a good seat. But like, you could just be like, hey, what number are you?
Yeah.
Like in a cool, chill way, rather than breathing down my neck and be like, oh, right in front of you. I'm right in front of you in the line. So I don't know if it's just me. What do you guys think?
I have some thoughts on this.
Oh, God.
I do too.
Okay. So I am the guy that if I can see the boarding pass, like I'll glance at it real quick and then kind of make my way up to kind of know where I'm at. Because let's be honest, even though it says 1 through 5 or 6 through whatever, Nobody does that, right?
No.
I mean, it's like herding cats. And like, I get why Southwest does it and doesn't assign seats, but it's also a flawed system. I will also ask, hey, what number are you? Like, you know, to kind of figure out.
Chill and relax. Hey, are you in this range? Or, hey, what number are you? Oh, I'm C6.
Yeah.
And then you knowing in your head you're C2. Okay, cool. Walk around, go in front of them a couple people.
But this is a poorly enforced system by Southwest. And it ticks me off because there's always that person that's like in the B group. And they're like, all right, I'm going to sneak in here with the A's. And here's why that irks me. Because you mentioned it. I'm 6'4".
Yep.
All right? Airplanes were not built for me. There are basically two rows on an airplane that I'm like, all right, I'll do it. The emergency exit rows. Okay. Then you got the tall guy seat that doesn't have the seat in front of it. And when I was coming back from Vegas or going to Vegas, I changed planes both times. I'm like, I see it. Like, yeah, I got it. And there's a short person in front of me. And when I say short, I mean shorter than you. And they go to the tall guy seat. And I just looked at them like, really?
Ugh.
Really? And so it was early in the morning on one of them. And I was like, hey, where was your boarding pass? And he's like, oh, I'm a B. I just snuck in. And I'm like, I'm going to have you kicked off this plane. Like, stupid.
But listen, if you were tall and you looked at me, say I was sitting in an emergency row because I did the last flight. And you were like, hey, would you mind, you know, switching? I'd be like, oh, my God. Yeah, this guy's 6'5". I get it. Like, I'll switch with you.
People aren't courteous. They're not courteous anymore like you and me, though. That's the problem. All right, Joe, give us your thoughts.
Well, first of all, I'm with you on if someone is the idea of like creeping up on someone to look at their crap. That's ridiculous. If you feel someone's breath on your neck, you know, I mean, come on. It's been years in the making, you know, for me with Southwest, because obviously Southwest is a hub here. So, I mean, that's mostly what I fly now, you know, like in Michigan, mostly flew Delta. So you're used to just having your own seat, always had to have an aisle. I'm 6'3", have to have an aisle. And yeah, I'm with you, Chase. If you can get the exit row, awesome, but at least have to have one leg that you can extend into the row. And, you know, and what I'll do is I'll take both of my legs. Cause I'm 6'3", but I have a weirdly short torso. And I have like the legs of like a 6'7" dude. I have the torso of like a 5'10" dude and the legs of a 6'7" dude. So it's like, I'm all legs.
Legs for days.
Yeah. 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 Don't tell Sean on the text line, so I have to have that. So it's look, so I am like, but when I go approach the line, I mean, I do, but the thing to do is what you said. I'm this. That's what you do, right? It's like introducing yourself. I'm Joe, not what's your name, right? I mean, I think that's what you should introduce yourself. So here, I'm 23. Okay, I'm 22. And it usually works out fine. I think that's better than what are you, which is kind of accusatory. Maybe it comes off that way. And I've had situations where it's like, you know, someone's like, yeah, I'm 23, whatever. And it's like, sure. Someone that I'm ahead of or behind someone and it should be flip-flopped. Okay, fine. It's one seat. But the idea of like creeping up on people and then also to Chase's point, people who sneak in, no, man, no.
No.
I will fight somebody if it's one spot or two spots, like, okay, whatever.
Maybe my overarching just umbrella, I guess, for my Rex rants is people being inconsiderate and not nice. Because that's the thing. You can ask somebody, hey, or you can say, oh, I'm 23. What are you? But the annoyance
I'm 34.
I'm 24. Mm-hmm. But the annoyance I get when somebody's like, they'll see your boarding pass or your phone and they'll just point at it and say, I'm ahead of you. Like, can you just tell me what number you are or be like, hey, what number are you? Like, let's just be adults. Let's communicate. It's hard, but let's just be civil and stressful and, yeah, bothers me.
Real quick on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Logan says, great rant that fires me up when people do that. Southwest boarding line is just a Karen Palooza.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Karen Palooza. Yes.
Tyler says, so we've learned from various rants that Michelle cuts lines at boarding and jaywalks.
I do jaywalk. I need to get better at that. but I know I do not cut lines. I go into my section, and if you're ahead of me, just tell me your number. You can go ahead of me, but let's not breathe down my neck or point at my ticket saying, I'm ahead of you in line. Like, we're not middle schoolers.
I guess Griffin is giving my rant a name. Griffin is giving my rant a name. The Constable Complains. Or Shooting the Suit.
Ooh, I like that one.
That's one. Brian, air travel sucks these days. Sometimes I think the only solution is for airlines to issue Xanax to all passengers.
Bridesmaids. Check if anybody hasn't seen that. Flight to Vegas.
The fire marshal in there.
I assume that's kind of like how you and Ricky's flights to Vegas are.
Yeah, well, actually, we take separate flights. Like, because
smart.
Because I don't know if it's
is it like the president, the vice president? Like, you can't be in the same plane?
Basically, yeah. And we know we're going to be together the whole trip. So it's like, you know, it's like the flight to Vegas is very like calm for me. Like, I got to get in the right mindset because it's 4 hours. You're going the headwind and you just got to get ready. So
the flight home is full of anxiety and hangoverness.
Cannot confirm real quick, more than I.
Oh, Wes has a good. He said, "Last time I flew, I gave up an aisle seat for a middle seat so a couple could sit together." There's hope, Michelle. Aww. Well, good job, Wes. And there's not enough of that, by the way. That could be another separate rant.
Or for kids,
the kids. Yeah, the kids with the parents. Yes, exactly.
That's good. Stop by. Good rant, Michelle. That was good. Or red.
That good red rant.
Good one. Stop by Social Furniture at 5412 Charlotte Avenue in Nashville now and enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Chicago Blackhawks at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow. Also, don't forget to check out their new sofas while you're there. You must be 18 to enter the contest. No purchase is necessary. Up next, we talked about this earlier, but concession prices at Geodis Park. What do you think? We'll get into that when we return here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 105 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.